And it was good to see them young boys. I don't know if you could see them over the balcony there, but they were singing every word to them songs. And that was a blessing. You know, there's a verse in the Bible about that, about training up a child in the way he should go. Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew and chapter number 11. The book of Matthew and chapter number 11. And when you turn to Matthew chapter 11, I invite you to stand to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter number 11. I want to begin reading in verse number 2. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 2. You need to know this is talking about two men in particular. One was just a man and one was not just a man. One was the God-man, Jesus Christ. We're reading about John the Baptist and we're reading about Jesus here in this passage. It says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.' And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, he said, 'What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you," notice this, "and more than a prophet." Say that with me. "More than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.' Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I want to preach this morning on this thought concerning John the Baptist being more than a prophet. In other words, when Jesus spoke of John, he said there is more to John than what meets the eye. There is more to John than just John. He is more than a prophet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come before you in prayer today. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to preach it. Now, God, I ask that you'd please help me. Lord, I ask that you'd please give me clarity. Lord, help us to preach in a clear way your word. Lord, help us to accept it. Lord, help us to lift up Christ and see him alone. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to do my best to tell you a little bit this morning about this man by the name of John the Baptist. I want to give you a little bit of information, maybe a short biography of the life of John the Baptist. And then I want to share with you some things out of this text about John the Baptist and some questions that I myself had whenever I read this text. I'd like to say, first of all, John the Baptist is one of my favorite individuals in the Bible. And I feel like I say that whenever I preach on any individual in the Bible. But for right now, John the Baptist is one of my favorite people in the Word of God. John the Baptist, I feel, was a great prophet in the eyes of God, as we've read. But I think there's a lot of things that the Bible shares with us about John that we could relate to in our life as well. I want to speak with you a little bit about how peculiar John the Baptist was. If you've studied anything in the Bible and you know anything about John the Baptist, you'll know that he was a very peculiar man. Let me say, first of all, this was a man that was very peculiar in the prophecies about this man. John the Baptist was a special man in the very fact that God prophesied about the coming of this man hundreds of years before John the Baptist was ever born. If you look and you study in the book of Isaiah and chapter number 40 and verse 3, you know that Isaiah was written 600 or 700 years before Jesus ever came to earth and before John the Baptist. But it says in Isaiah 40 and verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." In verse 5, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it." If you look in Isaiah, you'll find that Isaiah prophesied not only about the coming of Jesus, but he prophesied about the birth of John the Baptist that would preach and prepare the way of Jesus Christ. If you look in the last book of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, in chapter number 3, you'll find that Malachi prophesied about John the Baptist 400 years before John the Baptist was born. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and he will make straight the way of the Lord." In Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 5, he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now you say, "Revis, that says Elijah. That doesn't say John the Baptist, right?" It does say Elijah. But when you turn to the New Testament, you'll find that he was speaking about John the Baptist. In Luke chapter number 1 and verse 17, when an angel told John the Baptist's father that John would be born, he said that he would come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Jesus himself even confirmed that Malachi was talking about John the Baptist when he spoke of Elijah. In Matthew 17 verse 11, it says that his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not." And then it says, "Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist." What am I trying to get at here? What I'm trying to help you to understand is that John the Baptist was a very special man, number one, because of the prophecies about this man. 400 years before he came to earth, and 700 years before he was born, I should say, he was prophesied about in the Old Testament. Friend, there have been many prophets that God has raised up to prophesy, but there have not been a whole lot of prophets that God has prophesied about him raising them up to prophesy. This was one of those special men that God prophesied about his birth. Let me share something else with you. John the Baptist is peculiar not only because of the prophecies about him, but also because of his nativity. Not only his prophecy, but his nativity. That means his birth, his childhood. John the Baptist had a miraculous birth by his parents. We read in the book of Luke that John the Baptist's parents was a man by the name of Zacharias, and his mom was Elizabeth. We read that they were both righteous before God, and they walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. You'll find that there was a certain day when Zacharias, his father, was serving in the priest's office. He was a priest. And there was a day when Zacharias was burning incense at the altar there inside of the temple. And whenever he was burning incense there, it says that the angel Gabriel appeared unto him, and he told him that God would give him and his wife a child in their old age. And of course, Zacharias said something to Gabriel that probably most of you and I would say. He said, "Whereby shall I know this?" And I love what Gabriel said. He said, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God." In other words, if this is not a good enough sign to you, I'm going to make it so that you cannot talk until your son is born. If it's not enough for an angel to appear unto you, then you're not going to talk until your son is born. And that happened exactly. Zacharias went out of the temple not being able to talk, and it find that they conceived a child, and that child was born, and his name was John the Baptist. You'll find that whenever John the Baptist was circumcised on the eighth day, that John's father's tongue was loosed. It says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to prophesy. He said things like this. He said that John would be called a prophet of the highest. He said that John would give knowledge of salvation unto his people and the remission of sins. John the Baptist had a very peculiar birth, didn't he? Nobody like us have had a birth like that, have we? Nobody has parents that were 90 years old or so when they had you, right? Right. Nobody's father got an angel announcing your birth unto them. You ain't that special. I mean, that didn't happen to you. What I'm trying to say is John the Baptist was a man that had peculiar prophecy about him. He was a man that had a peculiar nativity, but he also had a peculiar ministry. This was a man with a unique ministry. We know that it says that the child, John, grew and he waxed strong in spirit. And it says that John the Baptist lived out in the deserts and in the wilderness until the day of his showing unto Israel. This was not a man raised in the synagogue or the temple or around other people, but he lived out in the desert until his ministry began. Not only this, but this man wore a coat of camel's hair. He had a leathern girdle, and he had a diet of locusts and wild honey. You'll find that John the Baptist was unique because he only had two sermons in his sermon pouch. His first sermon that he would preach would be, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And there was only one other sermon he ever preached, which was, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I'll say this, John the Baptist wouldn't make it very long in Baptist churches today because they only had two messages, and most of us would get sick of him. But that's what he preached. He preached Jesus Christ, and he preached repentance of sins. And by the way, that should be our main message today, those two things, repent and believe on Jesus Christ. But later, you'll find that after he preached this great message, he began to preach against the sins of the ruler by the name of Herod. We find that John the Baptist was cast into prison, and later his head was chopped off and brought on a platter to Herodias' daughter. That was the ending of John the Baptist's ministry. John, no doubt, was a very amazing man, a peculiar man, and a peculiar prophet. But I've always read here in Matthew 11, where Jesus said, he said, "There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." And to be honest with you, although I'm always amazed at the ministry of John, I've always wondered why Jesus would say that about John. Has anybody else ever wondered that? Why would Jesus say that there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist? I don't know about you, but I've always stumbled over that. Because although John was a great preacher, no doubt, I think that I could think of many prophets and many preachers that I would think would be better and would be greater than John the Baptist. Would you just humor me for just a minute? How could he be the greatest if God had already raised up some men like a prophet by the name of Moses? Everybody knows about Moses, right? We've all heard about the miracles of Moses. Moses was one of the greatest of the prophets of Israel, no doubt. It says in our Bible that Moses was learned in all the wisdom and all the deeds of the Egyptians. Moses was the one who wrote the first five books of our Bible, was he not? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It was Moses who stood up to Pharaoh. It was Moses who said, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go." It was Moses who took his rod and held it up and struck the Red Sea and it parted in the midst. It was Moses who spent 40 days on Mount Sinai gathering the law of God. It was Moses who came down and threw down the tablets of stone and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" I don't know about you, but that is some amazing things about that man by the name of Moses. It was Moses that God hid in the cleft of the rock and allowed his glory to pass by, so that when Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone like the sun. I don't know about you, but as far as I've read, that never once happened to John the Baptist, did it? Moses was the one who spoke and struck the rock and it brought forth water. Moses was the one that when he died, the devil and the angel had a dispute over the body of Moses. They disputed whether to take him or leave his bones. The devil hated Moses that much. Never read in your Bible about where they disputed over the bones of John the Baptist, do you? So how could John be greater than Moses? Moses, we've studied in Revelation Wednesday that there is a song of Moses that is going to be sung in heaven in Revelation. I don't ever read of a song of John the Baptist, do you? How could he be greater? I think not only of Moses, I think of Samuel, a great prophet in the Old Testament. I think of Samuel. He was the young boy who God chose to speak to verbally instead of the high priest. He spoke to Samuel as a young boy. I think about Samuel. He was the one who anointed the very first king that Israel ever had. It was Samuel who anointed the greatest king they ever had, King David. It was to Samuel that the Lord said, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth. The man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." I remember Samuel to be the one who told King Saul to obey is better than sacrifice. And thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hast rejected thee. That was Samuel that did that. Did you know Samuel started the schools of the prophets? And Samuel has two books named after him. Does John the Baptist have his own book? There is no book of John the Baptist. I think of Elijah. Elijah was the man that went up onto Mount Carmel. Elijah was the one who called down the fire of God from heaven in the sight of the 450 prophets of Baal. John the Baptist never called down fire. It was Elijah who mocked Baal. It was Elijah who said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" It was Elijah that struck the Jordan River and it split. That never happened to John. John baptized in the Jordan River, but he never split the Jordan River, did he? Elisha, he had a double portion. He did twice the miracles of Elijah. I think of Isaiah and all the prophets that wrote all these great books. Why would John the Baptist be the greatest born of women? Why would Jesus say that? Well, I began to think of some reasons why Jesus would not say that. I know for a fact Jesus would not say that John was not the greatest for his miracles. Why was John great? Number one, it wasn't for his miracles. You know why John the Baptist wasn't great for his miracles? Because he never, ever did one. John chapter 10 and verse 41, it says, "Many resorted unto him and said," listen, "John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true." I want you to understand that John the Baptist was not the greatest for his miracles because he never did one. That tells me something, by the way. God does not judge on a scale of miracles. We live in a day in America where there's this movement going on, this healing movement of healers that think that they need to show their authority in the Bible by healing people. And friend, I got news for you. There is no such healers in today's day. I believe in the healer, and that is Jesus Christ. I believe in healing, but I believe in no man that possesses any ability to perform miracles by his authority. friend, that is good to me because I can't do them. But I know that God doesn't judge on the scale of miracles. I can tell you this, though. I have had a miracle done inside of me by Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, secondly, he was not the greatest for his miracles, and he was not the greatest for his education. Samuel grew up. He was in the temple. He was raised by the high priest. Moses was raised in the schools of the Egyptians, and it says he was mighty in words and deeds. But John the Baptist had no formal training. He lived out in the wilderness. Friend, what am I trying to get at? You cannot use your lack of education as an excuse not to serve God. Hey, if there's somebody here that God is calling you to preach, I don't want to hear about how you just can't seem to talk very well. That's not going to cut it as an excuse with God. Friend, he was not the greatest for his miracles. He was not the greatest for his education. He was not the greatest for his writings because he never wrote a book, as far as we know. We have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all the way down, all wrote a book, but John never wrote a book. John was not the greatest for his miracles, his education, his writings. I'll tell you this, listen to this, John was not the greatest for his faith. We live in a faith-oriented culture. Everything is faith this, faith that. Have a little bit of faith. We need more faith. Friend, Jesus said if you'll have the faith of a mustard seed, it's not about faith that's special. It's who we are to put our faith in. But friend, John the Baptist was not the greatest for his faith. How do I know that? John the Baptist was the one privileged to baptize Jesus. John the Baptist was the one who saw the Spirit of God descend on Jesus and abide on him. John the Baptist was the one that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John knew that. But when John was put in prison, John began to doubt if Jesus was really who he said he was. John forgot something that was so great in his life. He had a lack of faith. Moses disobeyed God. Elijah got depressed. And John the Baptist doubted. Friend, don't think that you're going to be doing something great because of your faith. There's nothing spectacular about our faith, I'll tell you that. Just as there was nothing about Moses and John's faith. He was not the greatest for his miracles. He wasn't the greatest for his education. He wasn't the greatest for his writings, his faith. And he was not the greatest for his accomplishments. John the Baptist had a great following, but he lost them all to Jesus. When Jesus came, everybody that was following John left him and started following Christ. By the way, there's a lot of preachers today that would be very upset with Jesus if he walked the earth today because everybody would leave them and follow Christ. Friend, I have news for you. Friend, I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Jesus Christ. And that's what John wanted for his life. So that begs the question. If he was not the greatest for his miracles, his accomplishments, his education, his faith, any of this, then why would Jesus say, "There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist"? And then finally, in verse 9, I read it. Here's the key. He said that he was more than a prophet. That was why Jesus could say that there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. You say, what is Jesus trying to get at? What I finally have come to understand is that John was not great because of himself. But there was more to John than what met the eye. There was something more about him. What was more? Friend, John was not great because of who he was. John was not great because of the man in which he was. But I finally realized that John was great because of the one whom he declared. In fact, it was never about John at all. It was about Jesus Christ. I finally realized that John was great, not because of who he was, but because of what he was privileged to do in his life. It was John whom God gave the privilege to herald and to proclaim the coming of Christ. John was not great because of himself, but he got to do something that no other prophet before him had ever had the privilege to do. There had been many that prophesied about Christ's coming. There had been many that knew types and shadows of Christ. But it was John the Baptist that day that saw the Lamb of God. It was John who got to see him in the flesh. What we need to realize is that he was not the greatest because of his person, but because of his commission. He was not the highest of the prophets, but the angel told his father he was a prophet of the highest. Hey, I'm not the highest of preachers, but I am the preacher of the highest. Friend, he was not a great man, but he had a great message. He was not a great personality, but he had a great preaching. He was not a great servant, but he had a great sermon. Friend, he may not have been the greatest in the eyes of the world, but the angel told his dad, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Aren't you thankful? I may never account to anything in the eyes of the world, but friend, I account for something in the eyes of God if I live for him and do what he wants me to do. Friend, John realized that he was not the greatest, but he served the greatest. What am I trying to get at today? What I'm trying to get at is this. You and I need to understand that there is nothing special about you. There is nothing special about me. Friend, I'm going to chase a rabbit here. I hear a lot of talk, religious talk today, about something like this. Repeat after me, you are worthy. Don't repeat it, but say this, I am worthy. Have anybody ever heard somebody say that? I am worthy. I've got news for you. We are not worthy. Friend, that is a lie of today's culture. Friend, don't teach your kids they are worthy because they'll grow up and think that they don't need Jesus Christ because they're worthy on their own. Friend, I want you to understand there is nothing worthy inside of me. Friend, there is nothing in me but corrupt and sinful flesh and unrighteousness. But we need to understand that we serve a God who is worthy. Friend, John the Baptist wasn't great because of John. John the Baptist was great because of Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that we have a great Savior who has given you a great commission in this life. Friend, we are not great men and women, but we must live for a great Savior. Friend, I'm not a great man, but I must preach on great matters. You need to feel the weight of your ministry that God has given you. You know why? Look in Matthew chapter 11 again. He that was born of women, of them that were born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What did he say right after that? He, least among you, is greater than he. Who would think themselves to be the least of all men? Raise up your hand. I feel myself to be the least. He says, you're greater than him. Now that's a big hard pill to swallow. If John's nowhere near physically as great as Moses, how in the world are we supposed to be anywhere near John? Friend, it's not about our personality, what we do. It is not about your miracles because you can't do them. It's not about your education because you may not have it. It's not about your writings because you may not be able to write. It's not about your faith, because your faith may waver, and it does. It's not about your accomplishments, because you may not accomplish anything in this life that's worth anything to men. It's not about your ministry, because the people in your ministry may leave you and forsake you. But you need to understand that you have a greater commission than John the Baptist had. We're not greater because of us. We're greater because of what God's called us to do. You say, what do you mean? John was to preach the first coming of Christ, but it was not John's job to preach the second coming of Christ. That's your job. And his second coming, he's coming back to judge the earth. And it's your job, not my job, not just mine, your job to tell others about him. You see the principle Jesus is saying here? Because he's more than a prophet, it's not about him at all, it's about Christ. John the Baptist understood that. In John chapter number 1, it simply says there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Wouldn't you like that to be said about you? There was a woman sent from God. There was a man sent from God. There's nothing special about us. We're just sent from God. John, if you were to ask him, he would quickly say, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Don't pay no mind to me, my image. I don't want an image. I'm just a voice. Don't look at me at all. Just hear what I'm telling you and look to Christ. You know something about John? He was very quick to tell people. When they asked him who he was, he didn't tell them who he was. He just told them who he wasn't. They said, art thou Elias? He said, no. They said, art thou Christ? He said, no. He said, he who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latched I am not worthy to unloose. Hey, maybe we should be quicker to tell people who we aren't than who we are, because it really don't matter who we are. It matters who he is. My question is this, and we'll be done. How are you treating God's great commission in your life? John the Baptist felt the weight of it. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. When's the last time you said, self needs to decrease, God needs to increase? When's the last time we realized what weight is laid upon us? Jesus is coming soon. I hope we know that, don't we? I don't know if we believe it or not, really. He is coming. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Musicians are making their way forward. I want to give you opportunity right now to pray. You pray right where you are. You can pray right down at these altars. I want you to know, maybe you've not been to this church before. Maybe you're visiting. There is absolutely no shame in coming down to this altar. This is not an altar of shame. This is an altar of prayer where people come to get help. And it's okay to use it. Can I ask you a question today? Are you saved? I want you to know that going to college, getting a good job, all these things are all good, but friend, that's not what makes us great. That's what the world will tell you. But if you really want to get in on something great in your life, you need to get in on Jesus Christ. That's something worth living for. Would you do that? Would you give him your heart? Would you get right with him? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come before you in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us to carry out the Great Commission. It's to the church that you gave it. Lord, help us to preach and prepare the coming of our Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Nobody's looking around right now. All you need to do is just step out. If God's dealing with your heart, I encourage you to do that. Appreciate everybody that's able to make it out today. We're so glad to have you. Thank you again to all our visitors, and we hope to have you back with us. We have Sunday night church every Sunday. We have our Sunday school 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock service, and then we have 5:30 prayer rooms and 6 o'clock in the evening service, and also Wednesday nights we have kids programs over in our annex building, 6:30 Awana, and we'll even feed them for you, praise the Lord, right? And 7 o'clock Bible study here at the church. And so we're glad to have you this morning. A few announcements. We had a good turnout at the clothes drive. I just want to remind everybody, the clothes drive, we do that in the old sanctuary over there across the road. We do that the last Saturday of every month. Brother Jonathan sort of heads that up with getting everything arranged. And 10 o'clock, we meet in the old sanctuary. We have a service. We had about 13 over there yesterday. And we invite you to come and check it out. And Brother Jonathan's asking for volunteers to sing or anything. So they had to deal with me singing yesterday. So they don't need to do that anymore. That's not good. So I encourage you to be a part of that if you can. We're so glad to have those that can help. Do remember... I was going to tell you to remember something, but I forgot it.